Hey, everybody, you're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, we had Chris Enns on to discuss podcasting, kind of how to make a podcast, kind of more the recording technical side of things. Well, this week is kind of a continuation, part two on our series of podcasting, but from a different angle. This is more about the business of podcasting, kind of the how we get podcasts out from a business angle. And we've got two amazing guests, web legends, who have found themselves kind of on that end of the spectrum. We have Brad Smith from Simplecast and Leah Culver from the hot new amazing podcatcher Breaker on to come tell us about their kind of views of podcasting and how it kind of affects just the world and business and media. It's a really great show. But before we get into it, I got to tell you about our sponsor today, Metaphysi. Metaphysi is a purveyor of fine quality handcrafted handcrafted plugins that you can use on your website. They're really amazing. Great quality. And you should definitely check them out. You can head over to, let me pull up that URL, metaphysi.co, and check them out. You got, it's amazing. You've got Isotope, Flickity, Peccary, Hubie. Just go check it out. And they're really quality plugins, and you should be using them on your websites. And today's episode is also brought to you by CodePen. CodePen is where you build websites before you start building websites. Check it out, codepen.io. But for now, Dave, let's kick this thing off. Hey there, Shopomaniacs. You're listening to another episode of the quality podcast sensation, Shop Talk Show. I'm Dave Reber with Ms. Chris Coyer.
Hey. So a couple episodes ago, we did one called On Podcasting, which was kind of an inside look at podcasting. I talked with our editor, Chris Enns, about gear and just hosting and just it's stuff. And we're going to kind of continue that. Let's maybe call it a two-parter where maybe in a sense we look at outside podcasting, other services and apps and the world of podcasting from that perspective. And we have amazing guests that know way more about that world than we do as lowly podcasters. So without further ado, let's do the guests. Mr. Brad Smith. Hey, Brad.
Howdy. I feel bad you said people that know a lot more about podcasting, yet it took us 10 minutes to get my microphone working before the show, so I'm just going to throw myself under the bus there before anybody else gets to.
Okay, and Leah Culver. Hey, Leah.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Maybe we'll start with you. Can you tell us about yourself and what you do and how you're attached to podcasting these days?
Sure. Well, I'm Leah Culver, and I am an engineer and the co-founder of Breaker, which is an iOS app for listening to podcasts. So I am personally not a podcaster. I'm happy to talk about that, which is kind of ironic given that...
You are now.
Yeah. I've been a guest. But I do not have my own podcast. So it was actually really interesting listening to your last episode and getting to hear that side of the story. But at Breaker, we make an app for listening to podcasts, and it's focused around sort of social discovery. So you can like things, you can share them with people, you can send episodes on Twitter and Facebook. So you can say, hey, this episode is really great, and have a way to get that out there. And then our discovery in the app is based on showing, like, you can see sort of what the most liked and listened to episodes are right now. So you can kind of see what's hot, which is really fun on an episode level, not even just a podcast level, but like what's hot today.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It also has one of the nicest icons on my screen.
Yes. I will agree with that as well.
Well, I also love that, maybe I'm jumping too far ahead, but I am, because podcasting is so social and you guys are very much like tapping into that. I think that's good. Anyway, we'll get into it later.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So we'll talk, as much we can about Breaker, but Leah, also just a tech luminary. It's great to have you on the show as just, I had my Pounce t-shirt on the other day.
So. Ah, Oh, thanks. That's amazing. Yeah, Pounce was my first startup for all the listeners listening. And it was, you know, that was 10 years ago now?
Forever. Yeah, I don't even remember where I got the shirt. I think I subscribed to some service that like on purpose sent me like swag t-shirts. I remember it was
brown. I heard about it on Dig Nation, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. So welcome. It's just cool to be able to talk to you. And Brad, do you want to do the same and tell us about what you do and your connection to podcasting
Most
these
certainly
days?
Certainly will. Yeah. My name is Brad Smith. And because there's like 80 of them, I am at Brad on Twitter.
You win.
Yeah. Well, not winning. It's the only way to differentiate yourself from the 18 other Brad Smiths in the tech world. My current company, my current venture is Wayward Wild, and that is a digital product studio and an incubator for content creating brands. And our current digital product that we are investing all of our team and resources into is a podcast hosting and analytics service called Simplecast. So where Leah is developing a innovative tool for consuming podcasts, we are the platform that podcasters would use to put their podcast online, distribute it to all the major platforms, gather analytics, and so on.
Yeah, it's in a sense, perhaps, you know, in a sense, in like kind of how WordPress says they democratize publishing, in a sense, you democratize podcasting in a way, because you don't have to know anything, right? You just throw an MP3 at Simplecast and you can get a website and the proper feed and all this stuff.
Most certainly. We'll talk about that a little bit more in this episode, I'm sure. But, you know, it's still not as easy as it could be. It is, podcasting has been growing for what, 11, 12 years now. And it's still like RSS feeds and stuff like that. So it's very interesting how as technology has simplified, the art of distributing and syndicating podcasts is still kind of working on the original technology that it did 10 years ago. And that's something that...
funny listening, like subscribing to Dave Weiner in RSS, who still is like, my RSS feed is a podcast technically because I put MP3s attached to the proper XML tags in my thing. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's a podcast, but it's kind of grown up a little bit.
Yeah, it has. It most certainly has. It's just we're hoping to kind of help make some moves for.
I'm sure Dave doesn't sound like that. I very much enjoy his blog. I didn't mean to give him a weird voice. Brad, also excellent to talk to you, a tech luminary. Did all these amazing projects for I'm sure also 10 years of time. The founder of Verb, which is still around and has its own weird story that perhaps we won't tell on this podcast, but it's an interesting one.
We'll save that one for the GoDaddy Dirt podcast. I think that's about GoDaddy all I can say. Yeah. GoDaddy at night. Yeah. No, about the same time that Leah was creating Pounce, we had launched Verb, and in its first iteration was a social network. So we launched that in 2006, and then in 2010 we pivoted the company to a website builder.
I honestly wouldn't still mind if it made like a triumphant comeback, because it's still kind of awesome.
I try.
The way that it approached. Yeah, it's try. Okay. It's okay. Maybe some.
You also, Brad, invented the hero unit, I think, on the big news
yes.
website.
Yeah.
And thank you for that web design.
Okay, so speaking of not being a podcaster, I was talking with Ryan Sims and Keegan just a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, guys, the big noob really needs to come back as a podcast.
I think it'd be great.
We launched that thing 12 years ago, but who knows?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you might also recognize Brad as a partner at The Great Discontent too, which everybody's seen because it's like the best interview thing out there. Probably a poor introduction to that, but we'll put a link in the show notes for you to check it out.
It's perfectly fine. It's good.
Okay. So, Leah, you're just back from WWDC, right? Was there news from that to share? It feels like we might as well do some news, because there probably was some, huh?
Sure. Yeah. Lots of announcements made at WWDC. The very last session on Friday, they had a podcast session at WWDC for the podcast app. That was pretty okay.
Did you find it interesting, Leah, how they did that? Because we made it through the whole week and we were like, I guess there's not going to be any podcast announcements. And then just at like the last minute.
I saw it on the schedule and I was like, they're going to say something at this podcast. But it's like, why would Apple throw it in at the very last thing on Friday? It was weird. It was super weird.
So it's still, podcasts are part of iTunes, right? And I don't know, but it's a separate app on iOS that, like, I think for any serious podcast listener, it's probably huge just because it's built in, right? Like, what is podcasting like plus Apple at a high level?
So it's interesting. They actually made two announcements that I thought were pretty significant at the podcast session on Friday. I'm not sure how many of them are getting picked up by press. I know that the one the press is talking about is the metrics they're releasing for the podcast app. So in iOS 11, Apple is now tracking podcast listening behavior. So how long you listen through an episode of a podcast, and they're relaying those stats back to podcast creators. Of course, this, like I said, isn't there till iOS 11, so I wouldn't expect it before winter, fall or winter at the earliest to get those stats. And even then, the stats only go back as far as users listening with the Apple Podcast app on iOS 11. So it's pretty specific.
Oh, wow. So it's not going to be like the greatest. So if I listen at Breaker, none of that.
From where it's coming from, though, like it is a leap ahead, but it's still not what people were sitting back hoping we might see.
If an advertiser asks us what kind of metrics we have, all we have is what is on Simplecast.
Right. So right now, all you have is like download numbers, like Simplecast, right? Like, I'm guessing, Brad, all you can tell people is how many times that feed has been parsed or the episode, the file accessed, right?
Yeah. Up until now, it's all based on downloads. That is something that we've kind of had a big breakthrough with in the past week. But as for right now, it's like people say, how many subscribers do I have in iTunes? iTunes doesn't release that data. That is not anything that anybody can have access to.
Oh, and really? They don't even tell you how many subscribers you have?
No, it's all based on, I mean,
oh, wow.
You have to get really creative. You have to look for people that...
You used to be able to run a feed through FeedBurner. You can't do that anymore.
Right. And there are ways that we can get subscriber numbers, but it is not as legit if just a player... could just tell us, like, well, there is this many subscribers to this feed and just this many people then listen to it without subscribing.
Yeah.
And what about, I feel like I dang near proved this at one point by just setting up a simple test. Because at one point we used to store our MP3 on S3, and S3 gives you logs of like when it was hit and stuff. And then I would like download it. And then I like signed up on like a different computer in iTunes and downloaded the podcast. But then I went right away and looked at our S3 logs and it didn't seem to get hit again. And I was like, so Apple's doing some kind of caching at some point where that didn't get hit, which means that nobody could even know that screws up numbers even worse.
Right. And we actually have a way that we can get around that, but they are caching it. I mean, we've seen an issue with Apple recently to where the listing pages aren't updating with the newest episode. If you're subscribed to a podcast, the podcast will show up immediately. The second the RSS is uncached, you're good to go. But we've noticed that the listing pages are taking like a day or more to update. So we've been, you know, scheming internally, wondering if Apple is maybe in the process of removing podcasts from iTunes, which everything needs to be removed from iTunes. Like, why is there not a standalone podcast app on the desktop? Why do I have to go into an application that's called iTunes where there's a bunch of movies and then go to this weird other store and find my podcast?
Is like, anybody doing that okay? I mean, there's plenty of podcast apps for iOS. Of course you should use Breaker.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't even use my desktop. Like I plug my phone into my desktop speakers and use Breaker at that point because I don't want to go near iTunes.
There was an Instacast app for a while, but it just, the syncing was rough. And so
it's
Electron save us.
It's still the Wild West out there in podcast land.
Yeah, and sadly we started on iOS and didn't do anything. We don't have a web player, really. We have like a really simple JavaScript player on episode pages, so if you like share them on Facebook, someone can listen to it, but like it's not like a full-fledged, there's no Spotify or anything, right? And I think that's just division of time. Like, we wanted to make sure we could nail it on iOS. And I think most people are listening when they're working out or driving or something, that they're not like at their computer. So I think we'll get there eventually. But just so you know the rationale why there's more iOS apps than there are other platforms, I think it's just the bigger use case. And it's hard. It's hard nowadays to build for a million different platforms, right?
Mm-hmm. Start on the web. Yeah. Just kidding. Although I would. Tell us more about Breakerland. It does seem like there's not, it's like maybe the first big good play at making it social, which doesn't it's I'm glad it exists because it seems almost like one of those apps that's obvious in a way. Of course this should be social. Of course I want to know what my friends are listening to. And I don't even trust my friends to tell me what they're listening to. I'd rather just know it based on their actions.
Yeah, well, you guys actually shocked me when you said podcasters don't even know how many subscribers you have on the Apple Podcast app. That's crazy.
No idea.
Like, you can just look at Breaker. And I mean, Breaker's still small. We're like 2 months old. But you can see how many subscribers you have, at least on our app, which is nice. And we hopefully we'll provide more stuff in the future too. So,
but a lot of people that really like us are techie in some way, so that they probably don't use the Apple Podcast app. They use something else like Breaker or maybe like Casts or something. And then now that they're split across all that, that means our numbers are worse in a way, but not that I really care. Here's some behind the scenes. You know, like it's almost a joke at this point, like podcast advertising, that you're going to hear a million things for Squarespace. You're going to hear a million things for, I don't know, what's the mattress thing?
That's a good point, Chris. This comment is brought to you by Monster Energy Drink. Monster Energy Drink powers you through the day.
So. Go ahead. It's not, although I would be happy to take Monster Energy Drink. One of them is stamps.com, and I don't think we landed them, but they reached out at one point through who we sell advertisers for, and in order to get in on it, they send you like a Google spreadsheet that you have to fill in with stuff, and of course one of the things is like straight up how many subscribers do you have. So it's like they just are trusting podcasters to fill that in which we've just talked about here. Surely hundreds of podcasters have filled in that spreadsheet, and every one of them lied.
Wow.
You know, because you don't
way?
Know.
What do you mean?
Because you about don't have that number. You don't know what your subscriber numbers are. I know that Simplecast can kind of tell me, but not everybody uses Simplecast, and you're probably doing it better than everybody else. I think people just guess. They're just like, I don't know, hundreds.
It's not even really guessing. Downloads, yes, that's a given. You know, we have to get around some caching so we can see, like, if you downloaded that twice, you need to count those numbers twice. And that's why really diving into the logs can just open up the world for what we can get. And like we are working on Simplecast 2 that'll launch this fall. The new analytics platforms, not to take the lid off this too soon, but we are going to be able to tell you speed at which somebody listened. Did they skip around? Did they finish the episode? How far into the episode did they go? And we've got some pretty neat displays there to give you a little bit more insight into what are people doing when they're listening to your podcast. Are they hearing a commercial and immediately skipping ahead 30 seconds?
Right.
Because let's call it what it is on all players everywhere. That 30-second or 15-second skip ahead, it is to skip ads. Maybe intro ad music skip. And ad skip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's behavioral. I used to never use it, and now I listen to podcasts with my fiance plenty, and she never doesn't skip one. Her behavior is 100% ad skippage, you know. Anyway, so I guess it depends.
I don't know. I sometimes like the ads. There's some pretty good ones.
Yeah, I want to take a second and go back here because I feel like we lost when you asked Leah about Breaker, because it is most certainly the first app for me and our company that's come along where we're like, of course, like everything else is social. Like I am right now throughout a day, I will browse the web. I will be in Safari. I'll be on my phone. I'll see a tweet and podcasts come at me from 80 different directions. It's like, well, I saw one in Twitter that I should listen to. And, you know, some other show posted on Instagram and that one I just saw embedded on a Medium post. And so that's been the only way to really learn about what I should listen to. And with Breaker, it's really just opened the whole world up to where I don't have to have somebody tell me because I can discover new things based on what people are liking. And if they follow similar shows in me. So I want to go back and give Leah a lot more props because I don't think we got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, thanks. I was just diving into the technical details of
well, me as a which you should, but me as a user, you know, it's
Well, it solves that awkward conversation where you're at a party and you're like, I listened to this podcast, and like five people leave, but one or two people still hang around. Mm-hmm. These are the people I want to talk to about podcasts.
You know, I was personally really inspired by Nuzzle. Have you guys ever used this?
Oh, I love Nuzzle. I read it on Nuzzle every morning.
Yeah, and so it takes kind of Twitter and condenses down just like what are the links that people are sharing. Uh-huh. And I always thought that was so unique. And, you know, for me, Twitter is a link delivery mechanism, right? Like there's some funny tweets and jokes and things, but like a lot of it is just what are people reading right now? And so I think with Breaker, we really wanted to make the, hey, what are people listening to right now? Like, what's the hot, what's like the Twitter for podcasts? That's kind of a little bit of the idea behind it.
I will, I'll have deliver some good news to you folks that Breaker is now, I think it's, you're definitely big enough already that if you sign up and do the, like, connect my Twitter to it thing, there'll be like a bunch of your friends there already. So you're past that. That like maybe middle awkward stage where you do all that work, but there's nobody there yet. Don't worry about it. There's lots of people on Breaker.
You know what's crazy is we actually launched 2 months ago without the ability to find your friends on Twitter and Facebook. You just had to like manually search for them. And it started because we had so few users in our beta testing. We had a couple hundred users kind of organically through like beta test friends of friends last year. But there were so few that we just listed them all. So when we launched, we just listed all of our users. Like, here's some people to follow. It's everyone.
Oh, that's the way you do it. That would almost be an interesting article. Like, what's the onboarding of an app that is social like that? You have to start like that. I think you did it right.
Yeah, but what's crazy is then it was super embarrassing because we got, like, featured in the App Store, which we didn't ask for. And we were losing a lot of people because they were coming to me and they're like, who are these random people that Breaker is telling me to follow? I don't know these people. So it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I can't wait. I just popped on and did it. And already is like, yeah, this is stuff that I am subscribed to and should have listened to, but haven't yet. And a few things that I'm like, oh, really? I should listen to that. Like it's on the peripheries of my radar. But now that I know that my friends on here have listened to it, I'm going to pop in and do it. So I'm more interesting at dinner parties, which is the whole point of listening to podcast. let's do this like some future stuff, which is I don't know. It's not always the most. It's hard to predict because none of us really know. But like both of you have bet a little bit of your career and livelihood and stuff on the success and growth of the world of podcasting. Like, you're believers, right? Is podcasting gonna blow up? Are we ready for it? Are we just gonna hit steady growth forever? Is it niche and staying niche? What do you feel about this like future of podcasting
stuff? I think it's a little twofold. I don't think it's going to level out or fade away. I do think before we are going to see exponential growth in listening, we do have to see more of a unification across the board of how you consume podcasts, how you post podcasts, things like that. You know, Apple rules the game when it comes to players, but it also gets updated with three lines of code every WWDC. So this year was like a good step forward. But, you know, I asked my mom recently. She doesn't know what I do for a living, so I tried to explain it. And I was like, so how would you listen to a podcast, Mom? So like she will come across one, and this is getting off in a tangent, but people still click the download icon and play it on QuickTime on their Mac. And I know that sounds like not a lot of people are doing that. We have the numbers across hundreds of thousands of podcasts to shock you at just how many people are downloading episodes. So it's not something you can just easily jump into. And even if you do just discover, you know, the iTunes app, great. Now, what do I look for? What do I search for? I said iTunes app. I meant podcast. And that's why something
which
like...
they try to help you with that, which makes is a richer kind of problem.
Right.
The big...
And that's kind of what's great about a Breaker coming along is immediately, you know, connecting it to Facebook or Twitter or whatnot. You are going to have initial content aggregated for you of what are your friends listening to? So I just think it's not there yet. I mean, video got off easy because boom, there was YouTube. It's like one place to distribute, one place to consume. That's YouTube. And so video, we had this like video makes its appearance on the web, it starts growing, and then there's YouTube. Podcasting hasn't been that way. And I don't know if it ever honestly will, you know, unless Google just launches an audio version of YouTube.
Isn't there like things in the world that could happen that would be great for podcasting? Like sometimes I'm always shocked. I'm like, there's still radio stations, you know? Like there is, of course there is, and radio is still kind of big, but presumably on the way down. Like, what if radio stations start to fold like newspapers in a sense? Like, is that related to podcasting?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is, so I did a little bit of research when we were starting off on Breaker, and you're right that podcasting is growing. Like, the number of people listening to podcasts every year is growing, but it's linear growth. It's not exponential. What I thought was super interesting was the advent of technology, hardware technology in the space of listening. So things like AirPods, right? Like, Apple's making improvements to actual like headphones. Bluetooth is getting better, right? So Bluetooth connectivity is quick.
Things outside podcasting itself helping podcasts.
It's a great
right. Yeah. The other one is in-home speakers. So like Alexa, but now HomePod. Google has a everyone has these speakers, like connected
HomePod. I've had an Alexa on my list for forever to get, because I suspect I'll use it in that way, you know. Definitely in our household, they're making coffee, and we have like a Bluetooth spherical speaker thing that just moves around the house, and it just, we play the daily often, the like New York Times one in the morning, and just listen to it. But if we had, if we buy HomePods, like I assume we will, our podcast listening will probably spike.
Yeah, that's a great
point. And then the other one is cars. So there's like three fronts, right? Like, it's getting attacked on all sides, right? So we're getting better headphones, better connectivity, better in-home speakers, and better interfaces in our cars for basically Netflix for audio, right? Like, you don't have to like listen to the radio, which is like watching television, right? You can choose what you want to listen to. You can pick out specific episodes. So things like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. But I think we're going to see more of that. Cars are a little on the slow end because the turnover for people buying new cars and new things for their cars is a lot slower.
But the decline of radio accelerates, you'd think cars would be more incentivized to be like, oh, people need to listen to stuff in their car. We better get on it. Maybe we should snatch up Breaker.
And I'm actually really disappointed in Tesla. Like, they had a really big opportunity to just totally revolutionize like software and cars, and they blew it. Like, I'm actually kind of pissed at them. Like, they have this shit, like, Linux operating system. Like, come on, guys. Like, do better. So
I don't even think that CarPlay and Android Auto are all that amazing, although I don't have either of them.
It's a little limited by the cars and the technology and the devices running it. Like, Apple and I'm assuming Google only have control over the software, and you have to have these, like, installed hard. So, I don't know.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah, I got to see CarPlay for the first time ever this weekend, and it is not like the answer to what we've been looking for, but it is a huge step forward. The fact that like my screen in the car becomes my phone screen, basically. So I have a podcast button on my car's dashboard. So exactly with what Leah is saying, I hadn't even thought about that. That is such a phenomenal point.
I actually have CarPlay in my car. I know.
Do you really?
Fancy, but and let me tell you, I'm so happy Overcast has a CarPlay app. So I guess they got in on the special beta or whatever. But I click Overcast and I listen. It's almost like an Apple Watch, you know, because it's kind of designed for glances, you know,
right.
Like, oh, what am I listening to? And I can only start, stop, fast forward. So, and that's good. I think that's like ideal for driving, you know, but it's the most used thing, and I love.
Do you have to plug into
there.
It, or do you have? I heard there was announced that you don't have to plug in to CarPlay anymore.
Oh, really? It could do Bluetooth.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. I plug in, but yeah, that it's
and you have trivial. To plug in. Yeah, it's trivial because you want to probably charge your phone anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it come with your car, or did you buy it like aftermarket and install it?
It came with my car.
No way.
Got a Volvo XC90. I know it's fancy, but I have kids and it's covered in Cheerios.
I was looking into it, and I think it's like you're looking at like $1,000 ish to just to go out and aftermarket put a big fancy CarPlay thing up in your car. It's not, not cheap.
I think it was maybe like a something $100 add-on or something, but it was but for me, like, this is what I do. I like listen to podcasts. I'll even like volunteer to my wife. Oh, I'll go to the store and get that because I just want to squeeze in like 15 minutes of podcast.
Oh, so yeah. Don't worry. Like, I'll go to the store. Yeah.
Hey, what? Yeah. We need to get something. I'll go to Target.
Usually that's because I want a Diet Coke anyway, and we don't buy Diet Coke.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll go do it. And then I squeeze in about, you know, episode on the way there and back.
Well, and as you said, like Leah and I are betting a lot on the industry. But I'm sure Leah, correct me if I'm wrong, but the exciting thing for me is the fact that it's one of the only ways to consume content that doesn't require eyes, hands. Like, as we talked about the Great Discontent, I mean, that is long form reading. That is a 20-minute interview and a print piece. This is the one thing that I can do while I'm walking down the street, while I'm driving a car, and not having to look away. It's basically original storytelling coming back. And it uses so many less senses. And I think we're all just a little tired of looking at our screens so much. And that's why I am excited about the future of this industry.
The topics is so great. To me, that's the best thing. Like, for example, I was watching The Leftovers. They just released the last episode ever of The Leftovers.
And we're going to need to talk about that before the show's over today. Too. Okay. We're just next week, can we just have a show on the Leftovers finale?
Yeah. But I knew it. I don't listen to any Leftovers podcasts, but I knew that there was some. Of course there is. How can there not be in podcasting? So as soon as it was over, I was like sitting on the couch like, that's it? It's over? Like, I need more. I need to listen to people talk about it immediately. So the first thing I did was go to a podcasting app and just search for Leftovers and just see what was already there, because I knew it would be there for me. That's very satisfying that listening to podcasts is this curated thing of just the things I care about. I mean, if you look through my podcasting, it's just a whole list of who I am as a person almost.
Yeah, it's kind of an extension of a lot of the things that that we get elsewhere. I did the exact same thing with The Leftovers. I've done it for other shows. I want the scoop from WWDC, and I'm not going to Apple and watching the keynote. I'm waiting 3 hours and then getting the first podcasters to talk about it, because I want to hear their take on it instead of Apple's. And
we can talk about the other thing. So I said I gave a point one without a point two. The first point, the things announced at WWDC. So the first one was the metrics for podcasters, and the second one was updates to feeds.
Yes.
So I don't get it. I don't know anything about that one. Tell me.
Yeah. So as Brad has talked about a little bit, podcasts are consumed through RSS feeds these days still. And we're going with these like fields and things that are kind of, you know, podcasting has evolved. We now have the concept of like seasons, like a television show, you know, in episodes. And I think that's really changed how Apple wants to display podcasts in their app. So they've added additional data that you can provide for your podcast. Like, is this is this season one or season two, right? So they've added these new fields that you can specify as a podcaster to help them better display your show to listeners. So the other one is they have a special title field that they tell you, like, don't put the episode number in it. Don't put all this extra data in there. Just make it simple and sweet and to the point. And then they have ones like they've grouped podcasts into two categories. What are they called? Serial or episodic, I think, is their terms for it. Mm-hmm. So you can say whether it's like a long form show that you need to listen to every episode versus like a one off show where you could just jump in at any episode. Pretty interesting.
And the thing is, like, if you'd given that data to Apple, to the podcast app, you know, six months ago, you could give it all the info that you want in the RSS feed. They're just not going to do anything with it. So they are finally opening up all these new tags, all these new abilities, so in, say, the Simplecast admin, we can have a lot more questions for you. You can actually do better scheduling of your shows.
I wonder
if that's
dangerous. Isn't the feed format an open standard?
Well,
and they just do whatever they want. I mean, I know they can.
Well, no. They're adding their own tags basically to it. But I think this is a perfect segue to talk about a newer, which is a little, if you want to say the word, controversial in the podcasting world right now, is RSS is antiquated. It's a larger file size. I mean, we move terabytes of RSS data every day. I'm not talking about actual MP3s. I'm talking just about the little 200K RSS feeds. We move terabytes upon terabytes of those every single day. So Leah, I'm going to let you jump in here because, you guys rolled out some support for something pretty badass. And then I will, I'll add something to that
format thing.
Yeah. It's the JSON format thing.
Whoa. That's fantastic. I would highly expect the author of OAuth and OEmbed to be on board with a JSON formatted.
Gotta love feed. Open specification. Well, what's crazy is so we were talking about Pounce early on. When Pounce was acquired by SixApart, it's like old school blogging company, right? They have TypePad, Moveable Type. When I joined SixApart, they were working on the Atom specification, which is similar to RSS. It's supposed to be like a advanced RSS, but it's still XML. So it's still got like the angle brackets and that kind of thing. So I was like, why don't we have like JSON? Like, why don't we do like blog feeds in JSON? And like, I just never got around to it because I was like, this is like, I had other
stuff. Seems like a one-to-one transfer. Just whatever, make the tag the key and the what's inside the tag the value.
How hard can it be? So it's been great because APIs now, like every other sort of communication of this type, has mostly moved from XML to JSON just because it's simpler, it's smaller, it's easier to read. Developers just, honestly, there's not much of an improvement in the format other than it's easier for people to read. Like it's more human readable and it's more machine readable. But you know, we keep getting asked, like, what's the benefit of using JSON versus XML? And it's like they're kind of just different ways of expressing the same thing. So we added support to read in JSON feeds. So if your blog publishes a JSON feed as opposed to an XML feed, we prefer that one and we'll read that one first, which is interesting because it's really a chicken and egg problem because we had to ask some podcasters like, hey, will you support this so that we can actually test it and make sure it works?
Yeah. Like how are we going to do it? We just got to wait till our podcasting plugin for WordPress supports it or whatever. I know. I mean, is Simplecast going to do it?
It'll be rolled out later this week. Steven, my CTO and head engineer, the day that we saw, cause we had been talking about it already, but we were like, let's rush to push it out for who's out there to consume it. Cause it sure as hell won't be Apple. You know, they're not going to roll out something that major. We kind of hoped at WWDC we would see that, but we saw that Breaker added it. So we immediately reached out to Steven, reached out to Leah's business partner, and we said, okay, what tags are you using? Because we wanted to push it out and support JSON, but we wanted to basically have somebody there that could consume it. You will basically not even realize it's happening. But if somebody is subscribing to your show in Breaker and it's hosted by Simplecast, they will get your JSON feed.
Nice. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I have a feeling it'll take like 2 years and it'll just be like everywhere. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It feels like one of those like changes that's like obviously.
And the reason that we're excited about it too, and a lot of people talk about the bandwidth and the size and the machine resources, which it's maybe being talked about too much. But, you know, if you're a hosting service moving terabytes of RSS feeds alone every day, you will see cost savings. It's given. The machine can consume it quicker. The file is smaller to transfer. So, you know, for us as a delivery syndication and analytics platform, it actually makes a lot of sense because every little byte that you save somewhere adds up to potentially thousands of dollars of bandwidth at the end of the month.
It's to me, as a web developer, it's like if you're building anything, that's how you want the data. Everything digests JSON. I just don't want to deal with the XML.
And that's why wonderful services like Breaker and Simplecast are supporting it out of the starting gate.
Well, it's a nice sign that, you know, podcasting is moving forward from a technology perspective, because I feel like for a long time, podcasting was sort of solidifying as a format, like how do shows work, how do episodes work, like beyond Dave Weiner saying, hey, there's an MP3 in here, so it's a podcast. I think podcasters have done a lot of the groundwork, like thank you podcasters for figuring out what is the appropriate format for this medium. And now that it's a little more solidified, we know what listeners like, we know what podcasters make, we can do a lot more.
This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you by Metaphysi. That's M-E-T-A-F-I-Z-Z-Y, metaphysi.co, and then go to /shoptalkshow because you get 15% off, and you might as well. What is Metaphysi? Metaphysi makes powerful and easy-to-use UI libraries. For example, maybe you've even heard of it, Isotope, for filtering and sorting lists. Super-duper great, wonderful, nice library for that. Like, you'll hardly see cleaner and more performant UI for doing list sorting stuff. They make Isotope. They make Flickity for responsive and touch-enabled carousels. Like, for sure, if you need a carousel, it's like, use Flickity. I would recommend nothing else. It's incredibly, it's amazing. They have Infinite Scroll for automatically adding pages. You know what Infinite Scroll is. Metaphysi libraries are loved by developers for the super robust APIs and documentation, along with like isolated demos for just about anything you'd want to do with a Metaphysi library. There's, you know, there's pens on CodePen for like every configuration and feature of a Metaphysi library. So it's great. You can precisely control the user experience. For your users, they just basically get the best widgets out there. You know, the New York Times uses it, Engadget, Whole Foods, NASA. They all use Metaphysi. You're in good company. You make the stuff that matters. Let Metaphysi handle the widgets. Yes, I love that. That's metaphysi.co/shoptalkshow to get 15% off all the licenses for these libraries. You want to be using them. They're the best. So what should Dave and I be doing? I just filled out the signed up as a podcaster on Breaker thing, so I'm cool there. Filled out the form.
We actually, for Breaker, we don't do as much as I think Simplecast does, for sure. We can add you as like a host on your show, which is kind of cool. You can, it's like Instagram, you know, when someone likes your photo on Instagram, you get a little push notification. We'll send you a little push notification if people like your episodes. But
fantastic.
Yeah, Leah, when I get to talk to you next, I would love to talk about a potential API that we have that you could put into the app there. So you could automatically connect show live. Hosts. You could connect show hosts through the app with the Simplecast API. But
nice.
Yeah.
So we use that. We are on Simplecast, Shop Talk Show, but we use very little of it. I hate to say, although I wonder if other places do it the same way. We use you as hosting and analytics, and that's it.
Well, are you guys awesome getting the JSON for free then? Like, you're getting the JSON.
We will, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You will get that. It will be included in the.
The problem is what we tell people to subscribe to is our WordPress feed, our Simplecast.
Right. Because everybody likes that feed forever name, which is something else we're going to fix forever soon. Everybody likes to have that permanent feed, so it ties in well with WordPress. And if you ever move to a different host, say if you move to Libsyn from Simplecast, your RSS feed stays the same. You're not having to deal with the janky 301 redirects and all that stuff that gets very technical. So a lot of people will take their Simplecast feed and then run it.
We were understandably nervous about it. When we switched to HTTPS, we were nervous that people would get all their redownloads and...
Right. We actually force over to HTTPS now on everything, even on the RSS feeds and the MP3s. So all that's coming across. But yeah, so it's definitely moving forward there.
Yeah, we actually, as a client, do a lot of crazy stuff to sort of resolve feeds to be like a canonical single feed. So we don't actually have like a concept of like your show isn't directly tied to the feed URL. We actually have like alias URLs. So you can have like five different URLs that still point to the same show on the back end. So it's actually interesting. It's a really interesting problem. We actually have a script that runs and deduplicates. We call it the deduper. It goes and finds shows that are basically the same show, but different feed URLs and merges them together because we do want to provide you with stats like how many subscribers you have, you know?
Right. We would love like that data if you could.
Yeah. We don't want like 10 subscribers over here and like 30 over there. You want to know I have 40 subscribers, right? So.
Yeah.
Right. And Chris, you made the comment. You said you use Simplecast, but really all you use is the hosting and the analytics. I mean, let's be honest, for what it is, I mean, up until this point, that's all the platform does. It is, we have a very stable global CDN that we have tied into. You know, we have no caching on our RSS, which means like when you publish, that thing is available around the world within seconds. Few other services do that. So, I mean, we are basically taking care of the infrastructure of the back end of saying, we're going to give you a solid web hosting experience and we're going to give you analytics on that.
Well, the web hosting is what I mean in that people could benefit from that. Like if you're just interested in spinning up a new podcast with your friends, Simplecast would make that a lot easier. That you don't need to do what Dave and I do, which is spin up an additional entire website.
Right.
You don't have to do that with Simplecast if you don't want to.
Yeah. So for the most part, that's what Simplecast is now. Is that what Simplecast is going to be in 6 months? No, it is not. But for right now, it's it's an analytics and a hosting platform for
podcasts. Will either of you start selling advertising for me and take a cut?
Well, do you want advertising sold for you? Because this is a hot topic. I wrote a Medium post a while back and I made a comment, just like one sentence, that we're going to have better tools for advertisers. And we had our support tickets spike because people thought we were going to start inserting ads into their podcast, which is not the case. But talk to me. I would love to hear from you guys as podcasters. We kind of have the trifecta here. We have the source, which is Simplecast. We have you as the podcasters, and then we have Leah as the consumption. So we have the circle of life happening here. So maybe we can ask you a question really quick.
Who do I trust, Leah or you more?
No. Like,
is that not as people, but as part of the stack, where would I prefer?
Is that something that you would desire to have third-party ads placed in your podcast so you don't have to deal with it?
At an absolutely opt-in basis, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, on like my side projects, yeah, you bet. Like I use Simplecast quite a bit. Like for any time I'm like, I have a dumb podcast idea, I'll just throw up a Simplecast. So I would love point people, like I want to buy. Let's say I'm an ad purchaser or an ad buyer or whatever. Like I want podcasts that fit this niche or whatever. I want that data. I want our name, Shop Talk, to come up in this, you know, front end web design UX niche. You know, that's what I think we want, is like our name to show up there.
I mean, my guys are going to get mad at me for saying this, but we're actually doing a lot in that space, and it dives into machine learning and transcriptioning. And
we didn't get stamps.com because I suspect they were just too small fry and they don't care, right? But maybe if you could land stamps.com for sure, because you could tell them, I'll put you in 100 podcasts. I'll put you in 1,000 podcasts. There's money there.
What if we gave you a report to give to advertisers that said you said the word chapstick 18 times in your last episode?
Yeah, sure.
I only said that because there's chapstick on my table. Thank God it wasn't anything else. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we are doing some stuff in the space, but as for the opt-in to say, hey, you can plug ads in, I will just state this now, that if we ever do anything like this in the coming year, it will be opt-in only. There are a lot of podcast hosts out there that don't give you the option. You sign
the reason
up.
I want that is because maybe we have a direct sale and the direct sale is really valuable. So I want to turn off yours. But this one is a filler, like, or whatever. We didn't sell any ads on this one. I want you to do it. Or Leah gets into it on Breaker. So I was like, well, I want to give Breaker a shot at this. So I want to turn it off at the Simplecast level so that they can have a shot at it. Like I want to be able to turn it on and off at different layers to see who wins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get into the advertising.
I didn't mean to keep saying Breaker ads. I don't want to scare anybody. So don't.
Yeah, actually, what's really nice is I should mention the Breaker app is free to download and we have no ads so far. That's not true of every podcast player. So put it out there. Yeah, we don't show any visual ads or anything. That's the other thing about the client is you can do visual ads. But like you guys were talking about, who looks at their phone while they're listening to a podcast? I don't know. So,
yeah, there's some interesting things that can happen because Lee and I did a brief email back and forth just before today to make sure kind of we were on the same page. And one of the things that we chatted about, or maybe I dreamed this, I don't know, Leah, did we talk about this or did I dream it? But, you know, when you control and have access to both ends, the origin and the delivery, it gets pretty damn interesting of what you can do. You know, you could theoretically change out artwork and things like that, but you can't do it as the host if the, you know, the app doesn't support it. Leah can't give you as a podcaster any more analytics back to Simplecast if we don't have a way for Leah and Breaker to connect to us. So it is kind of going back to that magical happy ground that we will find a community between, you know, hosts and players, because you can do a lot when you have access to both endpoints.
Shh. Hey, come here. Hey, it's me, Dave. And I'm here to talk to you about CodePen. Chris doesn't know I'm doing this. Chris doesn't even know what I'm going to say about this. This is a total surprise. So he's going to find out about this in post. But here is the deal. CodePen is amazing. And you got to go pro. I'm pro and it's amazing. I have something like 600 pens and like half of them are private because there's things I like build for my clients and I show them. I'm like, hey, I made this little thing. Check it out. We can test it in every browser. Check this out before like we go roll it all into production. I use this all the time. The live mode, the collab mode, all that stuff. I use that very, very often. So you should definitely check out Pro if you're not a pro today. The new projects feature is rad too. I built stuff on that. There's a lot of things, a lot of reasons you should go pro. So if you're a Shop Talk listener, I hope you already are, but definitely go pro. Or if you have trouble doing that, go convince your boss to sign up for a team account and get a Teams account because you definitely, we use CodePen religiously and as a tool in our web development and for clients and everything and products and companies. So definitely check it out. Be sure, I don't even know the URL, codepen.io/pro. I don't know. Go there. Check it out. And don't tell Chris that we talked about this. A wink.
Here's a technological one. I'm just curious to me. Dave at one point wrote a thing that was like, you know, it would be nice if we could just on our website, because some people, you know, it's not super common, but they listen to the show on the website. You know, you share the link on Twitter, people open a tab and they just hit play because whatever. I don't want to screw around. I just want to listen to it. So Dave wrote this JavaScript thing that was just like, if a link happens to be formatted, you know, ~t equals a timestamp, mm-hmm. it will, you know, override the click handler for that link. And what it will do is find the MP3 player on that page and it will move through the JavaScript APIs for the audio element, move the player to that point in it. And it's web only. It works just the web. But because that's part of the content of that page, it makes its way to the feed too. You know, so now people have like anchor links in the feed content that are formatted in this relative query string format. And we just found through time that like it just started to work in some players. Like for whatever reason, they also use that format. And right. If you click it in that player, it goes to that timestamp. But not all players. So right. What's up with that?
We have support for that in Simplecast. Like that exists. But there's no front end in your admin for you to fetch that data. So that will be fixed soon. But yeah, you could hotlink in your RSS feed to 2 minutes and 18 seconds into this episode if you want.
There's no standard for it. Somebody else could write it in a slightly different way. And
exactly.
It wouldn't work all the
exactly.
time.
There is no standard yet. And it's something that we're actually investing a lot of brain power in because, again, we get to see the analytics across hundreds of thousands of shows. So you would be shocked at how many people consume podcasts in browsers still. It is
I wonder
not
if that's
as
interesting
high
for a breaker too, because it could be like, because it's so social, like I'm interested in what other people are listening to, but maybe even what parts of things people are listening to.
Right. You know? Right.
I have some stats here for Shop Talk Show. This is over like 2.5 million episodes or downloads. Is 36% iOS podcast app, 14% iTunes. And then the third one, number
so
two
half
is
Apple.
Yeah, half Apple, 13% web browser.
Yeah.
Like that's the number three after Apple.
Right.
For
yeah, and you guys are skewed a little bit, because you are definitely speaking to a little bit more of a technical crowd. So somebody like me, I'm going to use the app on my phone, Breaker, and I'm gonna beam it to my speakers. I don't care if I'm sitting at my desk, I am not dare opening iTunes and falling into that world of trying to get to a podcast. But I will say there's been your episode a couple of weeks ago, there was one of yours I listened to in the browser. So maybe I'm part of the problem as well, but I don't do it a lot. But if I come across it, you know, and it's there, then I will click play.
It's funny. If we had 100% web browser, it'd be better for us because then we can sell display ads and we can.
Right.
Anyway. What about this network stuff? Like, does it, it seems like if you browse through the, you know, even the iTunes experience and any given app, like they tend to, there's no programmatic concept of a network, I don't think, but like they tend to group podcasts by that and stuff. That tends to like be a construct that's, that matters more and more. Like this podcast is part of this network and I'm going to let you explore other podcasts as part of that network. Are we missing out by not hopping on one of these things or what?
No. Well, one thing being a part of a network does is, you know, if you became part of a network, one, they take care of the advertising for you. You get the clout of being able to brand yourself as part of that network. We host quite a few networks and they vary in size anywhere from 5 shows. We have one network that as of yesterday, they have 51 individual podcast shows on our platform. Each of those publishing several times a week. And that big one is all based in food. Everything around food, from Cherry Bomb Radio to Heritage Radio Network, all of that stuff. So like they will have people continually come to them and say like, I've got a great idea for a podcast related to food. If Heritage Radio picks it up, you then are basically just the producer of that show and they are taking care of the advertising because they have those relationships. They've already built up the relationships with Whole Foods and all of that. So you do have the level of traffic to be part of a network if you wanted to. And there's even a few that support podcasts like yours that I can think of. So the beauty of being in a network is you get the clout of being part of that as well as the fact is, you know,
the ad sales, which is compelling.
Ad sales. Yep.
Does Breaker care about networks or not really?
So we do get some indication of whether you're part of a network based on some tags that Apple puts in around like artist name. And so it's kind of hard to find in the app, but if you'll notice some of the network names or some of the artist names are linked and you can click on it and you can see other shows by the same artist, which we consider sort of like a network. So someone like Gimlet, you'll see all the Gimlet shows if you tap on the word Gimlet on their show page. But it's pretty hidden. Like we haven't really used it to its full extent. However, one of the things that is worth mentioning is you do within a network get some cross promotion. So like shows will mention you and say, hey, listen to this. If you like this show, you should check out this other great show, which is kind of nice way to spread. So there's kind of like a community feel to those.
And you had to, somebody probably over there has to manage this. Like NPR doesn't tell you what all the NPR shows are through their feed, right? You have to, somebody had to hand do this.
You know, actually, Eric works on most of this, so I'm not sure. But no, I think we just linked if the artist name is the same. And there's also like an owner email we can use to associate feeds together. Yeah. So there's some things where we can do some matching and be like, this is the same network.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to look through the technical docs yet that were released at the event that Leah was at on Friday at WWDC. Yeah. But I'm sure that in these new tags that will exist, but the way that we send it off to iTunes and to Breaker and everything is by the owner email because it's the only thing that really connects them across the board. Now that there's multiple title fields for shows, we're going to be able to do a lot more and deliver a lot more. Because right now, if you know, let's talk podcast app, if they only have 8 different fields that they support, you know, what good is it? Like we had a support ticket yesterday and the customer was like, you don't give me enough categories for my podcast show. Like, I don't like the ones that you're giving me. We need to fall into this. And the problem is we can add all the ones in the world we want to, but if the app that somebody is listening in does not support that, like if we add a category for chapstick and you select it on your podcast, Chris, iTunes isn't going to do with that.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah. So it's like we are even held back and, you know, by what we can deliver. And that's why, like, we were excited with Breaker rolling out JSON support because
sometimes you got to pave the cow paths, Brent. Yeah. That's what we say in web development.
I like that. Paving the cow paths.
Yeah, I love the idea of using JSON feed as a vehicle for supporting new and relevant fields for podcasters. So, I mean, like I said, with our artist stuff, we're just guessing. Like, we have no idea what actually is a podcast network or not. It's like an educated guess.
Yeah.
You know, in JSON feed, we can support that. We can have the concept of like a podcast network.
Mm-hmm. Seems like how they're splitting it between episodic or not. It seems like they should also have a split between like, in my mind, there's two kinds of podcasts in the world. There's the ones that like clearly have like a storyboard and like multiple interviews and like are produced podcasts. And then there's podcasts that hit record and they hit stop and then they ship it. You know, that should almost be, that's the divide in my mind.
Well, what's interesting is Apple is using that data to do what is a huge user requested feature. So we get to see at Breaker a lot of like what listeners want. They send us feedback of like, this is what I want to listen to. And they always want trailers. They want like previews of, you know. So what Apple said, Apple actually added another field that says what episode, for on an episode, you can say what type it is. It's a trailer, like a normal episode or a bonus episode. I'm forgetting the exact terminology they use, but they use that to pull out a trailer. So I'm sure they're displaying trailers for shows to users so users can preview your show.
Does that premonish the idea of charging for a podcast?
Perhaps, yeah.
That would be a weird day.
But users just want trailers in general. Like, you just want to know, what does the host's voice sound like? What is their content like? You know, who are they? What are they talking about? Super highly requested feature, you guys, as podcasters. Like, if you make a trailer your show, it helps you get more listeners.
We will, Leah, if you guys want to build in support for them, we will deliver you that field, and then we can just go ahead and set up Shop Talk.
We'll be the first one.
We'll give you an
MP3. The iTunes spec one. Like,
you do?
The new iTunes spec has the concept of trailers. Like,
perfect.
If you can make a trailer for your show and market as a trailer as such in iTunes, like...
Our trailer is going to be so awesome. It's going to go like...
In a world where websites suck.
Are they doing anything with that now, Leah, or will that be what rolls
iOS
out?
iOS 11.
Okay, 11. So that's part of 11. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. So this fall.
Oh, it's going to be the most highly produced trailer in the history of podcasts. The short history of podcasts.
You guys think this is funny, but we've seen a lot of shows that only make a trailer and then go no further with their podcast. So.
that's like A-B testing or whatever.
I
seed the idea and see if people pick it up.
Minimum viable podcast.
Yeah.
I believe that's every podcast I have ever tried to make. It turns out to be like, this is just a quick first episode and then we're going to dive into more. That's it.
Yeah. It's hard to get past that, that first episode really. Well, cool. Well, I think time is kind of coming to a close here. So, we can go around, but are you bullish on the future of podcasting? But I guess what's your hope for podcasting here in 2017-18? We'll start with Leah.
Yeah, my hope is adoption for new technical specifications and standards to make things. I really care about listeners. So making things better for listeners and doing that through podcasters having more tools to better reach their audience.
Awesome. And Brad?
Well, we are going to be, of course, building a lot of tools for listeners via Simplecast. So, you know, if you have a trailer, we're really building that for you, but it's helping apps like Breaker. The one area that we are going in hard on is two areas over the next year is analytics. And going deeper than we believe a lot of hosts can, and a more innovative, interesting sharing via the web browser or Twitter or things like that.
Nice. Great. Well, I'm excited too. I love podcasting so much, and it just always seems like the it seems like a niche sort of thing, but you know, things like Serial and NPR podcasts very much make it feel like it's not a niche thing. So thank you all for coming on and sharing your brains on this. But before you go, how can people follow you, give you money? We want to make sure people are doing that. We'll start, we'll go reverse here. Brad, can you go first?
The give us money part. I'm very interested in that, but,
yeah.
No, you can find me on Twitter at Brad, also on Instagram at Brad, or you can go to simplecast.com and, get in touch with us there.
And we use Simplecast here at Shop Talk Show. Not an advertisement, but highly recommend it, especially like if you just want to get the content out. It's super easy to get psyched out by the, I'm going to make a website for my podcast, and then you never do the podcast. So
yes,
just use Simplecast is my advice. And Leah, how can people follow you and give you money?
Yeah, so as a podcast listener, I don't know what you're listening to this show on now. It may be Breaker, it may be something else. If it's something else, give Breaker a download on the iOS App Store and check us out. Try listening to a podcast in Breaker, see what you think. That's all I ask for now. It's a free app, so give it a try.
Definitely go give it a try, everyone.
And I just checked out how many subscribers we have at Breaker. This will be our metric. We're doing metrics today. We have 92, I think, subscribers in Breaker. So Shop of Maniacs, let's boost that up to $3,000.
Yeah, that's a whoa. That's a big number.
Boost it. Just a little increment. Boost it to $3,000. You got it, Shop of Maniacs.
I'll tell you a little bit of secret. Like, if you like hit that like button on Breaker on an episode of Shop Talk, like, it moves up. Like, people can actually, you can actually make a difference. You don't have to wait for an editorial team or anything like that.
Yeah.
You heard that. Game the system, Shop of Maniacs. Just game the system.
Game the system. Go for it. No one's really doing it. Yeah. Come on, game the system.
Game the system. Speaking of gaming the system, I got in there. I thought I was early, but I was late, and I couldn't get Brad as a handle. I'm still really bummed about that.
Sorry. Let's talk offline about that.
All right.
No.
Great, guys. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher of choice. Hopefully it's Breaker. Be sure to star heart, favorite it up. That's how people find out about the show. Follow us on Twitter at Shop Talk Show for tens of tweets a month. If you hate your job, head over to shoptalkshow.com/jobs and get a brand new one, because people want to hire people like you. And Chris, do you have anything else?
Shoptalkshow.com.